If you have your Bibles, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read a text there. I appreciate Josh leading singing, picking out songs that fit so well this morning. I don't know if you've ever been in a position to where maybe you're in a new job. Maybe it's a new class if you teach school. Maybe it's somewhere where you're moving in and somebody uses the phrase, you have big shoes to fill. I've heard that a few times in my life. I've heard people go, hey, those are some pretty big shoes you're going to have to fill. Or talking about somebody else, that was a good guy, a good man, or a good woman. You've got some big shoes to fill. When we get to Joshua chapter 1, the book starts with Moses is dead. And it doesn't say it to Joshua, you've got some big shoes to fill. But you know what? Joshua has got some big shoes to fill. Moses, the lawgiver, the leader, the guy that led them out of Egypt, he has been the man for all these years, and now he is gone, and God taps Joshua on the shoulder and goes, you're up. And I can imagine Joshua going, I'm a little intimidated about this. This is going to be a little tough. This is going to be a little bit hard. And God is going to give him encouragement in the first chapter that I think applies not just to Joshua, but to us as well. Because Joshua is about to, not only is he taken over for Moses, but for years, literally years upon hundreds and hundreds of years, God has promised this group of people, I'm going to give you a country that's not your own. I'm going to give you a land. I am going to give you a special place to make yours. And now it has come time, and God tells Joshua, you're the guy that's going to lead my people there. So he's double pressure here. And when you get down to chapter 1, and we'll start down in verse 5, it says in verse 5, God says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, so it will be with you. What is that? The next part. I will never leave you or forsake you. So God's kind of pumping him up. God goes, hey, you've got this. I am not leaving you. I am not forsaking you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Again, verse 7, be strong and very courageous and be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left. And he'll say, keep this book of law on your lips, meditate it on it during the day and at night, that it may be careful that you do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and succeed. And verse 9, you've got to mention it one more time because he's already said it twice. And be strong. Have I not told you? Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. I love the message here that God is trying to give to Joshua after all this time to go, I am here, I am with you, it's going to be okay. I give you the same promises that I gave Moses. Joshua is entering a new territory, a brand new territory. They have never been this way. It is uncharted ground. It is uncharted territory. And Joshua is like, I don't know, maybe he's a little intimidated, maybe he's a little bit nervous. And God starts off in verse 5 and 6 by telling him, strength and courage come from my presence. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And I love that. Doesn't it feel good to know? I mean, it's as if God is telling Joshua, I'm leading the way. Take my hand. Come on and let's go. Because sometimes when we haven't been to a certain place, sometimes when we haven't experienced certain things in life, the newness of it is a little bit scary because we don't know what we're doing. Maybe we feel a little intimidated, and God is telling Joshua right here, we've got this because you have got my presence. Can you imagine the little kid, maybe that was you at some point or another, I know it was me, that was afraid to go to a certain room in the dark, or maybe a certain basement or a certain place, and your dad or your mom comes up and says, here, let's go together. And you're no longer scared because you've got that presence of them knowing it's going to be okay. That is exactly what God is telling Joshua today. He goes, you don't have to be afraid. You know, we've talked about saying yes to God. That's kind of our theme as we go. And Joshua is going to be told, hey, we're going to go into this land. It is going to be yours. You're going to take it. And all Joshua has to do is say, yes, let's go. Saying yes to God means trusting him when we go into that unknown. When we go into that area that we haven't been, whether it is a sickness, whether it is a disease, whether it's a relationship problem, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a big move, whatever it is, when we can know, I have God's presence, I'm going to trust him in the unknown, it's going to be all right. I think about a lot of people who said yes to God in the Bible that didn't know where they were going, that didn't know exactly how are we going to do this. I think of Noah said yes to God and built an ark, even though Noah was like, really, this is going to happen? I think about Abraham, who God said, hey, pack up your stuff and your family, and you're going to move. And I'll tell you when you get where you're going to go. And he said yes to God. I think of Esther, who was told by Mordecai, you need to save your people, and she said yes to God. I think of next week, we're going to talk about Rahab, a lady who wasn't even among the Jews, wasn't a Jew, and she said yes to God to helping them fulfill the plan. I think about Mary, who said yes to God when God said, you're going to become pregnant. Or maybe the disciples, when God said, leave everything and come follow me. And they said yes to God. I don't know what God is saying yes to you in the unknown, where it is or what it is, but I can promise you, if his presence is there, it's going to be okay. And you should say yes to God. And maybe it's something like this. I've thought of a few things this week. Maybe it's someone you know that you have been needing to invite to come to go to church with you, and yet you've been nervous about it. You've been scared about it. Maybe they're going to say no for whatever reason. And you need at some point to say yes to God, because God's going to be there the whole time anyway. Maybe it's here at church, you've been asked to lead a class or to teach a class or to help work in a class, and you've never done that. And it's a little out of your comfort zone. And God's going, we've got this. And you just need to say yes to God. Maybe it's giving, being a better giver. You know, in all of the Bible, over and over again, we're told, don't test God, don't test God, don't test God. I find it interesting in the last book of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, God goes, test me. You know what he says? Test me. You try to outgive me. I find it interesting. There's so many things that we can come up with or excuses of why we shouldn't do things. And God says, just say yes to me. You don't always have to know where we're going. I'm going to lead you. My presence is going to be there. Maybe you had to need to have a hard conversation with your kids. Maybe you haven't had to have a hard conversation with a friend. Maybe you need to choose God over things of this world. Maybe you need to consider taking some classes at SIBI or doing some mission work. Saying yes to God means being willing to obey him immediately, not when there are no other options. So here's Joshua. Joshua doesn't come along and go, Lord, let me think on this. Let me see what other options that I have. Joshua's going to, by the end of the chapter and the start of chapter 2, Joshua's going to go, if you're leading the way, I'm ready. Sometimes we tend to be people who come along as Christians and we go, I'll say yes to God, but if there's no other options, that's when I'll say it. We want to save him till last. We want to try everything, and if nothing else happens, then I guess I'll do what God wants me to do. Sometimes we treat God like he's inside of a magic lamp, and we just keep him up on the shelf, and we don't need him, we don't want to work, we just know he's there, and if we need him, we know we rub that lamp and out he pops. Or the spare tire. You ever heard that illustration or thought before? When's the last time you thought about your spare tire on your car? If you hadn't had a flat in a long time, you're sitting here thinking, well, I kind of hope I got a spare tire in there, but I don't even know if it's got air in it. But you have a flat tomorrow, what are you thinking about? I hope that spare tire is there. We tend to do that with God. We kind of tend to come along and we'll go, well, I know what God wants me to do, but let me see if I can do some other things first. We'll leave him to the last, and we'll hope that he's there when I really, really need him. And God's going, come on, just trust me. Put all your weight on me. You know, I find strength and courage from God's presence. I also find strength and courage sometimes from other people's presence. You ever feel comfortable around people who've been there when you're in trouble? You know, I've talked about this. I'm a cancer survivor. Some of the people I found the most comfort in was talking to other people who had cancer. Sometimes we're around people, when people have a knowledge that you don't have, you can go, well, I feel at peace knowing that they're close by, that I just have them close. Last Sunday, we had a young man that had a battery that was dead after services. I mean, everybody was gone. And me and one other guy were like the last couple of people here, we thought. And they said, do you have any booster cables? And I said, I do. I'll be right there. So I pull over, and somebody's already pulled up. Both hoods are up. They're just waiting on booster cables. So we hook them up. Nothing happens. Having no luck getting this vehicle started. And I'm like, I can boost off a car, but after that, that's about it. Don't know where to go. I'm just thinking, we're going to be here all afternoon. And we got to noticing the booster cable, the cables on the battery are loose, and you can't get a jump on loose cable. Both of them are loose. So I said, do you got pliers? I don't have pliers. I asked the other guy, you got pliers? I don't have pliers. They said, do you have pliers? I said, I have booster cables, but I didn't bring any pliers. And I look over and out from the building that I didn't even know was still here in the building. It's my friend Tyler Roberts. Tyler works in farming and ranching. And I'm thinking, Tyler has pliers. Who doesn't have pliers that are in? I mean, that's his livelihood. And I'm thinking, I already felt at peace because it's like God just sent him right here. I said, Tyler, do you have pliers in your pickup? And he goes, I got pliers right here, and pulls them out of his front pocket. I thought, this is the story. God, we're over here going, Lord, I need your peace. I need your presence. I need somebody who's been there. And God goes, I've got this. One of the incredible things about God is God is not only here in the here and now, but he is in the future. I know this is a hard concept to catch. He's pro-video. That means God is already knows what's going to happen in the future. So he's already prepared. He's trying to tell Joshua, I'm going to go with you. We got this. You got my presence. It's going to be okay. I want to remind you to say yes to God. If you've got his presence, you can be both strong and courageous. The second thing that in the text that we notice that you've got to catch, and you can't ignore it, is strength and courage comes from knowing and obeying God's word. Not just knowing. Because that's a big deal today. We tend to be people a lot of times. I meet people like this all the time. I know God and I believe in God. And God goes, those are really good, but you also need to obey God. And if you'll notice down here in verse 7 and in verse 8, God is going to say, do not depart. You meditate, you study, you know the word that I gave Moses. You follow my words, and don't you go to the right, and don't you go to the left. You stay straight line, exactly what you're supposed to do. We tend to be people that like right and left, don't we? We like the straight line, but we also like right and left. The Pharisees were people to the right. They took God's laws and then they took their preferences and they kind of made them God's laws and said, you can't break my preferences because these are kind of like God's laws. They went to the right. The Pharisees had rules and laws for everything. In fact, I looked up this week, in the Bible, we are told that there are 2,713 laws given. That came from my Drake Study Bible. The Old Testament, God gave them, I'm thankful that we don't have that many. Under the old law, they had 2,713 laws. But for the Pharisees, that wasn't enough. They wanted more. So they came along and they added to, and they'd give a law about, this is how you're supposed to plow. This is how you're supposed to sow. And they would add to God's laws, and this is how you tie, and this is how you untie. This is how you do when you slaughter. They had rules for, can you erase one letter, or should you erase two letters in a row? Because if you can do that on the Sabbath, how to put out a fire, how to make a fire. They had laws for everything. Constantly, they were coming up with laws. It was like, you know the old phrase, if you undercooked chicken, overcooked chicken, straight to jail, right? I mean, it's like, whatever you did, you better do it just right for them. Because they had rules. And here was Jesus who shows up, and he started breaking their rules. And he healed on the Sabbath day. And he did things that went against what they thought should be done because they had veered to the right. Let's don't be those people. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we let our opinions become things that are more than opinions. Bible class. Sometimes we come across, and we had a big debate back in one of the churches that I worked for a long time. What, can we extend Bible class? Can we start at a little bit later time? Is it unscripted? It doesn't matter. If Bible class becomes before service or after service, we just have Bible class. God's not worried about when you're doing Bible class, just that you're doing Bible. He likes it when you study His Word. Old songs, new songs. We have people that, well, I like the old, I like the new. It's not always about what you want. And God goes, I just like it when you sing to me. And you don't worry about whether you know this song or not, or whether this is an old song or a new song. One cup or multiple cups. Passing trays or disposable. And God goes, I just want you to take communion and remember my son. And we think our preference must be really important. Be cautious that we don't go to the right. God told Joshua, don't go to the right. He also told him, don't go to the left. And we tend to be people sometimes that go to the left. So what does it mean to go to the left? Well, yeah, I hear people sometimes say, well, God wants me to be happy. I feel like no matter what I'm doing in life, God wants me to be happy. Can I just say God does want you to be happy, but never to the extent that He's okay with you breaking His laws. As a parent, I always want my children to be happy. I always want my kids, but not to the extent of breaking the rules that I had for them as I was raising them. God wants us to be happy, but not to the point of breaking His rules. Sometimes we go to the left and go, but God wants me to be happy. I know what it says in the Bible, but I believe God wants me to be happy. And that's just as wrong. I like buffets. You go, where's this going? I like to pick and choose. My family loves, minus Lee, my family loves to go to a good buffet because we all get to pick what it is that we like to eat. And then we sit down and we go, oh, you got this. I'll have to try that. Is it good? Yes. I'll go back and get me another plate of that. We like that. You get to pick and choose your food. But did you know when it comes to God's word is not a buffet where you get to pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. And that's what He's saying here. Be careful to follow all of the law I gave Moses. Meditate on it day and night. He doesn't say, pick and choose what you like. Doesn't say, I like the grace. Give me that. Put a little of that on my plate. I like the mercy and forgiveness. Put a little of that on my plate. Oh, there's a big pile of giving. We're going to skip that right now, Or obedience, I think I'll pass on that one as well. God goes, look, it's not an either or, it's a stick to the Bible. We don't want to be left or right. We just want to be biblical, be scriptural. That's the thing that we're supposed to do. Keep the book of law on your lips, God told Joshua. Meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do everything that is written in there, and you will be prosperous and successful. I think sometimes we hold the greatest book in our hands and we don't realize what we have, just how valuable this is. And God wants us to read it and He wants us to share it. And he wants us to obey it. And he wants us to learn it. And you know what the very best, I think the very best Bible translation is? It's the one that you'll pick up and read, because that's what you need to be doing. Find a Bible, open it, read it, meditate on it, let it sink into your soul. That's what God wants from us, not right or left. Lastly, let's look at the last thing. Did you notice down here in verse 9, in our text, God told Joshua in verse 9, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid. There's a lot of things the Bible has told us not to do. And I think we take some of those really serious. I mean, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet your neighbor's stuff, do not make an idol, do not use the Lord's name in vain, do not spread false testimony about people. We're all like, man, I would never do those things. Would never lie and steal and cheat. But God has said over and over, don't be afraid. And yet sometimes I think Christians justify that as okay. And it's just as wrong. God says, trust me, don't be afraid. We're comfortable in our fear sometime of what's going to happen. You don't always have to understand everything that's going to happen to know that God's going to take care of it. Fear disrupts our faith. It really does. When you want to grow in your faith and you want to step out in your faith and you want to get closer to God and you become fearful, fear disrupts your faith. The Bible says you cannot please God without faith. Fear and faith do not work together. I love the story of Peter who got out of the boat and walked on water. Yes, he didn't go far, but he went further than anybody else because he had enough faith to get out of the boat. We don't always have to understand things. I don't understand everything about judgment. I don't ever understand everything about what's going to happen someday. But you know what I know? God says, don't be afraid. I'm there. Take my hand. I've got this. And so I don't have to know everything other than the fact that God's going to be there. I don't have to know everything about heaven and why heaven works the way it does or how everything. All I know is God says, I got this. Trust me. It's going to be all right. And I can put all my weight on that. Here in a couple of weeks, God's going to tell Joshua to walk around a city. Going to give him the craziest war plan ever. How do we take this city? Walk around it a few times and then shout. And everything will be fine. And it's like, that makes no sense. But Joshua's like, if that's what God says to do, we're going to do it. Like Joshua, you and I have got to put all our faith and all our trust and all our weight on Jesus. I brought an old lawn chair this morning. Some of you might have noticed this and thought, who left the old ugly white chair up at the front for everybody to look at? That'd be me. Have you ever sat in one of these that have been sitting out for about 2 years in the sun? They're brittle. They're scary. And somebody goes, hey, just pull up a chair and sit in my lawn chair. And you come over here and you're like, you're kind of looking at it like, I don't know that I want to sit in this. Because those break really easy. These little plastic things have been out in the weather for a couple of years. And you want to sit down in it. And you come over here and I know how you do. It's kind of like you just barely sit because you're like, is it going to hold me? And it wiggles and it moves. And you definitely are not putting all your weight on it. It's like climbing in the hammock. You ever climbed in a hammock and you're like, is this going to, I mean, you're nervous getting in because you don't put all your weight on it. So when we get to John 3:16, the same stuff that God has been telling Joshua right here, we have a verse that you have memorized since you were a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word believes, do you understand what he's, it's the same thing he's talking to Joshua about. The word believes here is trust. And the word trust here defined is, if you want to put it in the kind of the original way it was described, it's putting all your weight on God. It's putting everything you got on God. It's not going, Lord, I know you told me that you got this, but I'm a little uncomfortable because I don't know if you got this for real or not. And we're a little spooked to sit down in it because we're not sure if it, God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, for whoever, can I translate it this way, puts all their weight on me. That's what he told Joshua. That's what he tells us. When it comes to your faith and your life in Christ, you can plop down in the chair and you can pick up your feet and you can go, I am not worried about this chair one drop because God's got this. God has got this. It will not break. He will not break. He will not give out. And this morning, we're reminded that Joshua said yes to God. I will put all my weight on you. Next week, we're going to get into chapter 2, and we're going to talk about going into, the first trip in, and God's going to tell him, hey, put your weight on me. I got this. You got to trust me. You can't sit there and keep one leg down thinking, I'm not sure you got this. I want all your weight, not 95% of your weight, not 99% of your weight. I want all your weight on me, God says, because I want you to trust me that much. And Joshua's going to do what he says. He'll say yes to God. What an incredible book this is that we're going to spend time studying. God asks you this morning, have you put all your weight on him? Are you kind of keeping some of your weight off of him because you're not sure he can handle it? And God says, I got this. Trust my presence. Trust my presence. Follow me on the straight and narrow. Don't veer off to the right. Don't veer off to the left. Know my word and live it. And do not fear. You can put all your weight on God. That is a promise. Joshua teaches us that. Jesus will tell us that. Now we just have to do it. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning and we can pray for you anyway, we'd be happy to do that. Also, if you're not a Christian and you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and given him your life and been baptized, what a great day to do that. If you have a need that we can help you with this morning, will you come as we stand and sing this song?